as he was dying there on the cross, he was able to say to those people who were crucifying them there, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so he taught on forgiveness. He lived it by his personal examples. And godly Christians today, if we are living by God's code of conduct, we will also know how to forgive. And I think of the example of Stephen there in Acts chapter 7, as he had been taken by the Jewish mob led by that man named Saul of Tarsus outside the city of Jerusalem. And as he was being stoned to death, he was able to say, "Father, forgive them." And so I pray that you and I today, as we study this subject, that we can learn how to incorporate forgiveness into our personal code of conduct. First of all, let's just look at the definition of forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Well, the dictionary definition, according to Webster, one, to give up resentment against the desire to punish, to pardon someone in your heart. Number two, to overlook an offense that you perceive someone has committed against you. And the third definition that Webster gives is to cancel a debt. And so that's a pretty good starting place. But the divine definition for forgiveness is forgiving. In the scripture that we've read here this morning, it uses the word forgiving is not a theomai, the word usually used when God forgives our sins, which means to put away, or God forgiving our sins in the sense that He is in the person of His Son, bore them on the cross, paying the penalty and satisfying the just demands of His law. That's a quotation from Kenneth Wiest. But in our verse today, forgiveness is the Greek word charizomai, which means to be gracious or to give freely. It is used in the Bible in the sense of to forgive. And so the word is also used in regard to canceling a debt. And so anytime you have something that needs against someone else because you perceive that they have offended you, they've committed some error against you, then you have to cancel that debt in your heart to them. And so forgiveness is being in our heart able to cancel that debt that you perceive somebody owes you. And sometimes they can be big as mountains, sometimes as little as molehills. But we need to learn how to cancel, to forgive those debts. Now, the second point that we're going to consider this morning is the demand for forgiveness. This scripture this morning says, forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. And as we consider this, the demand for forgiveness, we first see the finality of God's forgiveness demands that we forgive others. When God forgives us, it's once and for all. Now, you can disagree with me if you want to, but my opinion is that when God saves us by His marvelous grace, He once and for all forgives all of our sins. They're covered by the blood of Jesus. In the Bible, in the New Testament, when it speaks about God's forgiveness of us, in fact, in this particular verse where it says forgiving one another, it is in the aorist tense, which refers to something that happened in past time, in one point of time, that it happened once and for all. Now, the King James Version translates this, hath forgiven. The New American Standard translates it, has forgiven, which is probably a better translation than ours today, forgiving one another, because this brings to light the idea that it's something that happened in past time that we have forgiven others, and that we have canceled the debt completely, that we will never go to that person again and bring up that old debt, that old offense that we perceive that they committed against us. So it's talking about completed action, even as God's forgiveness of us is completed action. It happened on the cross of Calvary when Jesus Christ bore our sins in His own body on the tree. And when you received Jesus, believed in Him as your personal Savior, God, for Christ's sake, forgave you all of your sins, past, present, and future. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14 says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Now again, that's in the aorist tense, past tense, one point in time, once for all, God is forgiven. "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Isn't that a wonderful, precious verse of Scripture which talks about how God, through Christ, has wiped all our transgressions away. Covered by His blood, we're forgiven forever and forever. And verse 14 says that even the law which condemned us has been removed through the cross. Because God's amazing grace that we sing about this morning intervened at the cross on your behalf and my behalf, so that through the blood of Jesus, through the amazing grace of God, all of our sins are covered and forgiven. The finality of God's forgiveness. But then the festering of unforgiveness demands that we forgive. Now, you've all probably had a wound or a sore that has festered, that's gotten infected, and it grows and it gets larger and it's filled with all of that pus. I hated to say it, but I couldn't think of another word. On Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock, I've got to go to the hospital. I've told you about this thing growing on my head. It just kept getting bigger and bigger. I'm concerned that it's a brain drain, you know, and I don't have any brain cells to spare. But the doctor is going to put me in the operating room, and he's going to cut this thing open, and we're going to find out what it is and hopefully get rid of it once and for all. Well, when a person has an unforgiving spirit in their heart, so often that unforgiving spirit will grow and it will fester and it will get filled with all kinds of ungodly thoughts toward that other person. And so, Paul here, in writing about the unforgiving spirit, he paints a picture. Verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and the evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Wow. Can a born-again Christian have all of those things in their hearts toward other people? It's pretty bad. let's just look at them individually. The first one he used, he listed is bitterness. Bitterness is the Greek word pikria. The Chinese is ku du. Ku is bitter. Du is poison. And anytime you have a bitter spirit in your heart, it's poison in your heart. It will keep you from being what God wants you to be. It will hinder your relationship with God. It will hinder your prayer life. And it will hinder your relationship with other people. And so this word bitterness talks about a smoldering resentment, a brooding, grudge-filled attitude. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. And yes, that's what can happen when we have an unforgiving spirit and we have that feelings of bitterness, and it will spring up, cause trouble, and many will be defiled. It can affect so many other people in our family, in our church, in our work relationships, anytime we have this unforgiving spirit. The second thing that Paul talks about in painting the picture of unforgiving spirit, he uses the word wrath, the Greek word thumos, and the Chinese word is nao hun. The word hun means to hate. And so anytime you have this kind of feeling toward others, this feeling of anger and feeling of wanting retribution and revenge against someone. The next word is, he uses is anger. The Greek word orge. It is the Chinese word fenu. And this speaks of a more internal smoldering, a subtle and deep feeling that you have against or toward someone else. And then there's the word clamor that Paul uses here to describe this unforgiving spirit. Clamor is the Greek word krauge. Chinese is rangnao. It refers to the shout or outcry of strife and reflects the public outburst that reveals loss of control. Have you ever seen someone who would get so angry and bitter against someone else that they would have a literal outburst of anger and expressing it verbally and physically because of that unforgiving spirit? Then the next word that he uses to describe this unforgiving spirit is slander. This is the Greek word blasphemia. Of course, we recognize very quickly that that's where our English word blasphemy comes from. Chinese word is hui bang. The ongoing defamation of someone that rises from a bitter heart. In other words, when we have that unforgiving spirit towards someone else, we're constantly spreading bad words about them. We don't have anything good to say about them. We do everything that we can to tear them down, rather than, as a Christian, have a loving, forgiving spirit. The last word that Paul uses here in painting that picture of an unforgiving spirit is the word malice. This is the Greek word kakia. And the Chinese is udu. And again, means evil. And du means poison. And so you put the evil and the poison together, and that's what you have in the word malice. Your attitude your response to other people, the ones that you perceive have offended you. Now, the process described, it begins small, but as it festers, just like an infection, it gets larger and larger. Just like this thing on my head. When I had the surgery back on November the 8th last year, staples were taken out after a week. It healed up nicely. It looked great. And then, this little spot came. And it continued to grow and to get bigger and bigger. And so, now, we have to take extreme measures. Last Wednesday, the neurosurgeon sent me to the Baylor Carrollton Hospital to the comprehensive wound care doctor. And the wound care doctor was a little apprehensive, but he made a valiant attempt. He stuck a needle in it. He couldn't draw anything out. He mashed it as hard as he could, and nothing came out. And so I said, I think it'd be a good idea if you call Dr. Michael Turner, the neurosurgeon. So he did. And they immediately conferred and they decided, well, he's got to go to the operating room. So Wednesday morning, 6 o'clock, I'll be at the hospital. You pray for me. We hope this will all turn out good. But this thing started small. And it's continued to get bigger and bigger. And that's the way an unforgiving, bitter spirit is. Sometimes the person that we're bitter and angry and unforgiving toward doesn't even know that they've offended us. But that bitter spirit continues to grow until it dominates all of our thinking. Have you ever been there? I hate to confess it, but I've been there. I've been in the place where I had anger and bitter attitude toward an individual because I felt that they had offended me, they had done me wrong, they had not done right by me, and every day, day by day, morning to night, you're turning that over in your mind, and it festers, and it grows, and it robs you of all spiritual power and all ability to connect with God. And we're led into unchristian, unchristlike attitudes and actions toward other people. And then, next of all, we see that the freedom of forgiveness demands that we forgive. An unforgiving spirit is the worst kind of bondage for a Christian because it can tie you in knots. It can fill you with hate and bitterness so that you cannot have the right relationship with your family, with your friends, with your church family. But there is a wonderful freedom and joy and peace and happiness when we come to the place where we can forgive that person. We can release that person from the debt we think they owe us. And in the process of releasing them through forgiveness, we are ourselves released from our terrible bondage. And it's no matter how great the offense, no matter how deep the hurt we perceive and that we've got in our hearts, if we can come to the place like Jesus, like Stephen, and we can forgive them, we can release them, we can cancel the debt, and we're free. Main point number three, the depiction of forgiveness. Here Paul says, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. And when you consider the size of our debt, my friends, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us stand before God ugly, condemned, certainly not deserving of forgiveness. But God, in His infinite love and mercy, looked down from heaven and He saw Dale Thornton. And He said, I forgive him because of my Son, Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing when we come to that place where we can forgive people, release them from the debt. A story that I read, there was a young boy who lived with his mother and his grandfather. The grandfather was not elderly, but he was confined to a wheelchair, had very little use of his arms. His face was badly scarred. It was difficult. He had a hard time swallowing his food. This young boy's task every day at lunch was to feed his grandfather. And he did this faithfully for several years, although not joyfully, because it was quite a mess to feed grandfather. As the boy grew into adolescence, he became weary of the responsibility. So one day he stormed into the kitchen and announced that he had had enough. From now on, you can feed grandfather. So mother left her work, sat down with her son, and told him a story. Grandfather wasn't always like this, confined to a wheelchair. He used to be quite an athlete. When you were a baby, however, there was an accident. There was a fire. Your father was in the basement, thought you were upstairs with me. We both rushed outside, leaving you alone upstairs. Grandfather was visiting us at the time. He was the first to realize what had happened. He went back into the house, found you, wrapped you in a wet blanket, and made a dash through the flames. And he brought you safely to your father and me. Grandfather rushed to the emergency room. He was burned very badly. And the reason he is the way he is today is because of what he suffered the day he saved your life. The boy, by this time, had tears in his eyes. He hadn't known the story. With no further complaints, he picked up his grandfather's lunch tray and took it to his room. And you and I, anytime we have an unforgiving spirit toward any other person, what we need to do is to look to the cross of Calvary, or go and sing some of these great hymns that we've sung today and are in our hymn book that talk about the greatness of the love of God and what Jesus has done for us and His great sacrifice and dying for us on my behalf, a sinner. And then, I hope when we look at that other person toward which we have an unforgiving spirit, we'll be able to cancel the debt. We'll be able to forgive them from the depths of our heart because of what Jesus did for us. Point number four, the deportment of forgiveness. Now, this may not be a word we use too often. Deportment means the way we act there was a time, I don't know nowadays if they still do it, but there was a time when on your report cards that you received from your teacher at school, there was a line for deportment. In fact, I must confess, last night I couldn't resist the urge. My mother kept a scrapbook for me and my brothers, and so I got my scrapbook out. And lo and behold, over in the back of the scrapbook, I'm going to burn them after today, so since certain people know they exist. But I found my seventh grade report card. Now, I wish I could say it was all a straight A. I had an A in reading, a B plus in arithmetic, an A plus in spelling. I was always good in spelling. A B in language, a B minus in writing, and I earned that. A C plus in health, a B in state history, a B plus in arts and crafts. However, on that deportment line for the whole year, I got a straight A. Well, I hope that all of us get a straight A from God in deportment where it comes to forgiveness. Paul, in writing here, he says, be imitators of God. He says, walk in love. Now, he gives us some examples of forgiveness that we are to follow. First of all, there's God the Father. The greatest evidence of love is undeserved forgiveness. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is our Heavenly Father. He models forgiveness and love to each and every one of us. And you and I, every single one of us who are born again by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, you have had the supernatural agape love of Christ poured out into your hearts. And every single one of us, because of that love, because of that example that God has given us, we are to love others and to forgive others. Then there's the example of Jesus Christ, the Son. On the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. He died for His enemies. He paid our debt in full. And so there are the examples, but the exhortation that Paul gives us here in verses 32 and verse 2. We are to follow the example of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. He says, be imitators of God. The King James uses the word be followers of God. That is from the Greek word mimetai, from which we get our words mime and mimic. And we are to pattern, to follow our life, to mimic the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father in being able to forgive other people. I've told you before, over in Taiwan at one of our churches, New City Baptist Church, and back in the early days, there was a mother. Her name was Mrs. Zhou, and she had two children. Her son's name was Zhou Keda, and Zhou Keda was a very mischievous young man. But it was not a bad mischief. It was just mischief. And anyway, Zhou Keda, he would like to sit on the front pew. And when I would get up in the pulpit and start preaching and using hand gestures, as most of us, if they tied our hands, we couldn't talk. And so as I was making gestures, Zokadah was sitting right down here on the front pew, and he was mimicking every gesture that I had. I always thought, well, he's sure going to be a preacher, but so far he hadn't made it, I don't think. But anyway, that's what we're talking about. We are to mimic, we are to follow the pattern, the example of God that He has set for us to be able to forgive others. In verse 32, forgiving one another even as God in Christ forgave you. Forgiving others even as God in Christ forgave you. I hope you'll let that soak in. And if you search your memory banks and you know there are people that you've got an unforgiving spirit toward them, that you'll fight it in your heart because God loved you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for you, that you, for Jesus' sake, will forgive them. The most convincing evidence that we are Christians is that we're able to forgive. Sadly, in Christian communities, families around the world, there are so many people who haven't learned this lesson. What does the world think about us when they look at us and they see us with these unchristian, unforgiving spirit toward others? Because Christ has paid the penalty for every sin, we have no right to hold any sin against any person, even a non-believer. We're to wipe the slate clean, cancel the debt, because Jesus paid the debt. You know, as we sang these hymns this morning about God's grace, and that hymn, and Brother Robert didn't know that I had planned to use that, at least the chorus of it. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And truly, that's a marvelous, marvelous thing. He paid it all. The depth of our love is shown by how much we forgive like God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, "And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." Have fervent love. Now, the Greek word for fervent is a word that refers to something that's stretched out to the limit. So our love, that supernatural love of God that He's poured into our hearts, is to stretch out to the limit, to be able to cover a multitude of sins, to cover a multitude of offenses that we perceive that others have committed against us, to wipe the slate clean, so that not only with God I have nothing to hinder me in my prayers to God, in my relationship to God, but I have nothing to hinder my relationship with other people. I've canceled all the debts. And so I pray that God would help us. I'm going to skip the last slide there, Arthur. In conclusion, how is your forgiveness code? Are there people in your lives whom you haven't forgiven, that you today know that you need to forgive? Remember, the sin of not forgiving others can hinder and block our prayers. If we refuse to forgive others, can we expect God to forgive us. When Christians fail to forgive, it won't take away their salvation, but it can certainly hinder our spiritual lives. And so I would ask each person here today to take an inventory of your life and to see if there are sins of unforgiveness in your life. If there are people that you still have that unforgiving, bitter spirit and attitude toward them, would you confess those to God right now? And if it requires, then go to that person and make things right. Get back in fellowship with that person so you can be in fellowship with God. It doesn't matter what kind of sin they've committed against you or what kind of offense. You need that supernatural love of God to help you forgive every sin. And even as God unconditionally forgives our sin, would you let the Holy Spirit work in your heart so that you also can unconditionally forgive others? And I pray that God will help every one of us to learn God's code of forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Forgive the stumbling words that I've spoken, but Lord, I pray that you use them for your honor and glory and to penetrate into the hearts of each person here and help us to learn how to forgive, how to love, how to follow your example in all things. Father, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand?